8. When we broke off my last speech, we were pointing out the difference between negative and positive authority. If the individual is told not to lie, that wouldn't necessarily mean the church cannot lie, because if the church did it, then every member in the church would be lying, and they would violate the passages that told the individual not to lie. Now, I say everyone. If there was some that didn't go along with it, they would be guilty. But that doesn't mean, when we're talking about positive authority, that just because we find that an individual is authorized, for example, to exercise his body, that the church is authorized to have a gymnasium. And Darrell would agree with that. So that is the exact hermeneutic, if you want to get to that much detail. And I don't really think of it as a hermeneutic. It's just basically this. If the church authorizes an individual to do it, individual can do it. If the church authorizes the church to do it, you can do it. That's all it amounts to. There's no hermeneutic. The individual is authorized to go into business. Does that mean the church can? No. Darrell agrees. And so just because he finds an individual can do something, that doesn't mean the church can do it. This will probably be even more important than the debate this afternoon. The marital duties, the sexual responsibilities. Individuals are authorized. Not only that, they're required to do that. Notice the difference between required and authorized there, Darrell. They're not the same thing. A requirement is always authorized, but not everything that is authorized is required. But the marital duties are authorized and required, but that doesn't mean the church has a right to have church honeymoon suites. Eat a common meal, it's the same thing. The individual is authorized to do that by Acts 2:46 and other passages. That doesn't mean the church is authorized to do it, not any more than any one of these. We brought that up before, but you haven't. That's another one of those you hadn't responded to. Put up 34. And then he says, well, he had replied to that. He said, Pat, do you have to bring up a chart to reply to it? No, as a matter of fact, it's probably better when you're replying to somebody else not to bring up their chart. In most cases, that's a waste of time. You don't need to do that. But you need to reply to their argument, and you have not replied to this argument until this last speech was the first time. I wasn't saying you hadn't brought up the chart. I was saying you hadn't responded to it. And you have not responded to it not one time, Darrell, until this last speech. And even your last speech, you didn't respond to the point of it. You didn't respond to the point. You said, your argument is, in response to this chart, is that when we socialize out in the foyer, we're doing the same thing as what you are doing in the church social meal. Okay? And that's basically how you reply to this chart. Again, he's just repeating the same argument again, the thing that I replied to. That's what you've already said 4 or 5 times. I said in response to that, Darrell, and you didn't reply to this, that if that's the case, if socializing in the foyer is the same as the church social meal, the church providing for that, and then the kids playing chase in the parking lot is the same as the church ball team. Now, Darrell, do you believe this is the same as that? You can nod yes or no right now. I would ask, please do that. Yes or no? Is this the same as this? You said our socializing in the church foyer is the same as having the kitchen and the fellowship hall, the church social meal. You said it's the same, so we're inconsistent. Is this the same as this? Look at this. Your daughter discusses a popular movie in the foyer. Is that the same as having a church movie theater? Yes or no? Did he answer that in his last speech? No. Is either yes or no? Darrell, you can answer that. Yes or no? Is this the same as this? If you answer yes, that they're the same, then either this is unauthorized and this is unauthorized because they're the same, or this is authorized and this is authorized because they're the same. If you answer that this, Darrell and Wesley, if this is different than this, then you see that us talking about a movie or socializing in the foyer is different than the church fellowship hall, providing for church social meals arranged by and paid for by the church. Do you see that? Is this the same as this, Darrell? Now answer that the next time. You still haven't answered. Men talking about basketball in the foyer, is that the same as the church gymnasium? Can't you see the difference? Women discussing recipes, is that the same as the church cooking school? Is that the same, Darrell? It's either yes or no. If it's no, then why do you say that when the NI brethren talk about football in the foyer, that's the same as the church social meal? Look at this one down here. The preacher eats his lunch in the study, or we socialize in the foyer. Is that the same as the church social meal? It's either yes or no. You say it's yes. If it's yes, then all of these are the same as all of these. And since you believe all of these things are okay, then that would mean that all of these things are okay. Do y'all understand that argument? Darrell has not responded to that yet. Is it because we can't understand it? I've been over this at least 5 times, and Darrell still has not responded to it. Now, I'll be glad to talk to y'all afterwards and explain this even more if you can't understand it, Darrell. But if you understand it, why not respond to it? The point. I gave you the ridiculous extreme that I rub my arm, my bicep, while I'm listening to the sermon. Is that the same as a church massage parlor? Is that the same as the church, the elders saying, now everybody at the church, let's say you didn't even have a separate building, and the church wasn't going to pay for the massage, you were just going to provide the lighting and the heating. The elder said, Let's all meet here at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, and we're all going to massage each other. Okay? Because we saw one of the members massaging his arm during the sermon, and that was okay. Therefore, it must be okay to do this. So we're going to do that. And we're all going to be fully clothed. It's not going to be anything sexual. We'll let the men massage the men, the women massage the women. There'll be nothing inappropriate in that way. But we're going to do that. And we might not have a separate building for it, but we're just going to do it in one of the classrooms or the workrooms. Now, Darrell, would that be okay or not? You said they're the same. The truth is that this is an incidental. This is not authorized. You can see that. Is anybody here that can't see that? Then why do you think that socializing in the foyer out there is the same as a church social meal? Why do you think that, Darrell? Please respond to that argument. Are they doing the same thing? Darrell, yes or no? And my question number two this morning, I ask him. He keeps bringing this part up about, well, we don't build a separate building. Some of the churches of Christ do, and they call it fellowship halls. He says they don't at Mountain City. Now, again, I'd like to know why you brought that up. Answer this. Do you believe it would be wrong for the church out of its treasury to pay for the food provided at the common meals which are at dispute in this debate? And you did not answer yes, it would be wrong. You said it depends upon the circumstance. So he doesn't think it would be wrong for the church to pay for the meal. I don't think he would think it would be wrong under certain circumstances for the church to build a separate building to have those meals, what's called a fellowship hall. Now he said at Mountain City they don't do it. I don't think he thinks it's wrong. I don't know why he would say that if he doesn't think it's wrong, but I don't think he thinks it's wrong. He can tell us. He didn't, last night he brought up, we don't pay for the food. But then not this morning, he says, really, depending upon the circumstances, he doesn't think it'd be wrong to pay for the food. I don't know why he brought that up last night then. Why? Why would you bring something up like that up, Darrell? It's as if you were saying last night, it's scriptural, we do it because we don't pay for the food. Yet you don't think it's wrong to pay for the food. And this morning, it's like you're saying, well, it's scriptural as long as you don't pay a whole, have a separate building for the fellowship hall. But I don't really think you think that's wrong. And on his number 19, you know the historical evidence chart? He says, Pat, does it make a difference on the time element whether or not it's a two-hour separation or 2 minutes? You know, in 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35, it says a woman is not to speak in the church. According to what his reasoning and what he just said, I suppose what they could do, we could do this at North Huntsville, Tommy, in the assembly, where y'all could do it here, or at Mountain City. We could have the assembly, but any time we want the women to be able to speak, so we won't violate that passage, in the middle of the assembly, we'll just say, time out. For the next 10 seconds, this is not the assembly. Okay, what's your question, Mrs. Brokey? She asks her question, then we say, time back in, we're in the assembly. Now let me answer the question. But the pastor says they're not to speak in the assembly, and if they have a question, they're to ask it somewhere else other than the assembly. Is that what you're trying to say, Darrell? All we got to do is just say, this is not the assembly, let the woman ask her question, and then say, we're back in the assembly. You see, that's what when we were talking earlier in private about how we define the assembly, I don't think you can just call it not the assembly, and therefore it's not the assembly. I don't think you can just say, well, it's just time out, because we want the woman to speak, and we don't want to violate 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35. When we go back and look at what those fellows said in that historical evidence chart, and we get more context, I'm 99% certain you'll see from the before those quotes and after those quotes, they were talking about something in the same service. Whether it's before or after, it wouldn't matter. It was right before or right after, it wouldn't matter. But it was in the same service, same assembly. They didn't just say, go along and eat the Lord's Supper and preach, and then all of a sudden, time out. Even though we're all here together, let's eat the food real quick and then call time back in. 1 Corinthians 11, 17 and following show this is incorrect. If the church assembly eats the common meal together, Paul said that it's wrong. He actually tried to use, put up 41, he tried to use 1 Corinthians 11:17 as affirmative proof last night. And he said, Pat, why would I need to bring this up? Because why do we need to get into things we agree on? And then he brought talked about Galatians 2, where they wouldn't eat with the Gentiles. That's not the church social meal. I didn't bring it up for that reason. You didn't respond to why I brought that up. I'm not bringing this up because we agree on these things. Here's why I bring it up. We agree on these. And they're exactly like 1 Corinthians 11. You using 1 Corinthians 11 for proof of your situation, what's under dispute in this debate, is like me if I were to use Galatians 2 to prove that we have authority not to eat with Gentiles or blacks. Simply because they're black. Because we have an example of people doing that. The fact is, they were condemned for doing it. It's not an approved example, it's a disapproved example. 1 Corinthians 6, taking your brother in law, we have an example for it. But it's disapproved, so it's not authority. A man having his father's wife sexually. It's a disapproved example, so it doesn't provide authority. 1 Corinthians 1, church divisions. It's a disapproved example there, so it doesn't provide authority. 1 Corinthians 15, people teaching there's no resurrection of the dead. That's an example. But it's a bad example. We're not to follow it. We're not to follow the example of people in the Bible when they commit adultery, fornication, and lying, and forth like that. That's not what we're talking about when we follow examples. 1 Corinthians 11 is a disapproved example. You have the church eating a common meal in the church assembly. In the same assembly, as a matter of fact, as the Lord's Supper. I believe they were just changing the Lord's Supper to the common meal. But his quote said that it was just right before the Lord's Supper. But it's in the same assembly, either way you look at it. And Paul said, this is wrong. This is wrong. And so put up number 3. Let me go back to number 1 next. And so he asked, Pat, why haven't you been proving your proposition? And where's your affirmative? I've been doing that in every speech. I brought up this chart. Every speech, all 6 of them. This is my affirmative. My affirmative is that it's wrong for the church to eat a common meal in the church assembly. And here are the verses that say that flat out. You don't need any hermeneutic to interpret them. All you got to do is read it. And it condemns what you're saying. You actually use this as affirmative material when it says the church common meal is wrong here. Just read that. If you're hungry, let him eat at home. But that's not saying the only place you can eat is at home. That's just giving one available alternative. He's not trying to bind where you must eat this meal. He's trying to say where you cannot eat. Just like in 1 Corinthians 14, when it says the woman is asked a question to her husband at home, he's not trying to say the husband is the only one she can ask the question to, or at the house is the only place. That's just one available alternative. He's saying, don't ask your question in the assembly. Now, here's one place you can. You could ask your husband at home. You could ask the preacher at a restaurant. He's not saying that, but he's saying, don't do it in the assembly. Don't speak in the assembly. Don't eat to satisfy hunger in the church assembly. That is my affirmative, number 1. This chart is also my affirmative. If you're not doing it in the assembly, you're still not supposed to use the church building for it, because we can only use the church building, that is a building paid for by the church's money. If you're just meeting at somebody's home and that building's not paid for with the church's money, you can eat in that, fine, as long as you didn't do it in the assembly. The church building can only be used for the things that the church money is to be used for, preaching the gospel, helping needy saints, and the worship assemblies. Where does this church social meal fall into? He says, I hadn't been bringing up my affirmative. I brought this up every chart, this chart up every speech, and I've asked him, which category does a church social meal fall into? Has he answered that question? I even said, if there's a 4th category here, provide it for us. This is the 6th time I brought this chart, and he still hadn't told us which category the church social meal comes under. Or he's not told us that there's a 4th category. I think he agrees with the 3 categories, by the way. I don't know for sure because he hadn't told me, but I really think he agrees there's 3 categories. And if that's so, Daryl, then tell us which category it belongs under. Far from me not bringing up passages to prove my affirmative, I brought them up in all 6 speeches, and you hadn't responded to it. It's easy in a debate just to say, Pat's not bringing up any affirmative, when actually I've done it in every speech and not a single time have you replied to it. Every speech I've asked you which category and you haven't answered the question yet. So that's not me bringing up, failing to bring up an affirmative. That's me bringing up the affirmative and you not responding to it. And then he gave the question, and I try to answer all his questions as I have time instead of just skipping over. Let's say they're having this benevolent meal. He says, what about the lady and their children? Can they partake of the benevolent meal? Not if they're rich. They have to be poor. Just like in 1 Timothy 5:9, it says, let not a widow be taken into the number, if she's not 80 years old and so forth. Now, there were some special restrictions there, but if there was a benevolent meal going on there, and Daryl would come along and Paul was saying, but this woman, she cannot be taken in the number. We can't help her and let her be of the number in this case. And I don't know all the details about that, but I know that it says, let her not her be taken in the number. Daryl might get up there and say, but Paul, don't you think she can be in the number? Why not let her in the number? Because Paul said she's not to be in the number. So if you have a lady with a bunch of kids, and they come to the benevolent meal, and they're not needy, no, they don't need to eat. And they shouldn't want to. I don't want to go take a lot of food from the poor. If the church is providing food for the needy saints, I'm not going to go in there and start eating the food and taking that away from them. I can afford to buy my own food. I don't want to do that. I want to leave the food for the poor. And then Jude verse 12, one of the only other affirmative passage he's brought up besides 1 Corinthians 11, which is a disapproved example. He said in the question for him, he said that Jude verse 12 is talking about, quote, meals eaten by individuals. Well, meals eaten by individuals. That's exactly what I believe ought to be done. In other words, that's not our dispute. We believe, quote, the NI brethren, the non-institutional brethren, we believe in eating social meals as individuals. as long as they're not at the church building, as long as they're not in the church assembly, we believe in that. So if Jude verse 12 is talking about meals eating by individual Christians, and that's a quote from him, then it does not help his affirmative in this debate, because all he would be doing is talking about something I'm for. I think that's a good thing. See? That's not a church. That's not parallel to the church social meal then. There is no evidence that it was done in the building paid for by the church. No evidence it was done by the church. The word church is not anywhere in the whole book. No evidence it was done in the church assembly. If it was, it would be a contradiction between that and 1 Corinthians 11. Put up number 31, Tommy. Now, I would raise it up. I would like to know the reasoning he's used in this debate, the same reasoning would also authorize these things. For example, he said at one point in this debate, the church is not the church. The church is still the church when it's not in the assembly. And I agree with that. But what he was trying to say is that when the people of the church go out and eat somewhere, like at Ryan's, a restaurant, that it's still the church. Therefore, that would somehow authorize the church providing for that meal, arranging that meal, providing the place, the lighting, the heating, perhaps a separate building. We don't know on that for sure. But now we know that they could provide the food. That wouldn't necessarily be wrong. They can provide all that. The church doing it. Church arranged everything, not the individuals. Okay? Now, if that proof will do it for the church social meal, why won't it do it for the Super Bowl party? Because the church is still the church, even when they're not assembled. And so when the members of the church happen to get together at my house and watch the Super Bowl, nothing wrong with that. According to his reasoning then, the church could arrange for that. You could bring the big screen TV into the church building, provide snacks, perhaps, but we'll have to wait on his answer, perhaps even have a separate building built for that, you know, under certain circumstances. Though they don't do it that way at Mount City. To be consistent at Mount City, they would just bring the Super Bowl party into the workroom. We're not sure yet if they could just build a whole separate room building for that. We'll have to see his answer. But they could provide the popcorn under certain circumstances. He said they could provide the food in a church. So why not? It's the same reasoning. We have the individuals of a church could get together for a piano recital. Well, the church is still the church outside the assembly. Therefore, the church ought to be able to provide for piano recitals. Have it at the building. Bring the piano in. Have a piano recital. Provide some snacks. Invite the church. Let's don't call it the church assembly, and that'll make it okay. We could have church-sponsored Shakespeare plays because the church is still the church when they're not in the assembly, and sometimes individual members of the church go watch a Shakespeare play together. So therefore, according to his reasoning, that would prove the church could sponsor a Shakespeare play. The church could sponsor a checker tournament. After all, the church is still the church outside the assembly, and the individual Christians can get together and have a checker tournament. Therefore, the church can sponsor a checker tournament, just like you, brethren, have the church arranging for and sponsoring a church social meal. Now, according to him, if you talked about checkers out there in the foyer, that would be exactly the same as having a countywide checker tournament at the building. It's the same. He said it's the same thing. He said, we're inconsistent. You talk in the foyer, yet you won't have the church social meal. Therefore, if that's the same thing, then if we talk about checkers, we can have that countywide checker tournament arranged for, paid for, advertised by the church in the church building. You could have a gym because we talk about basketball games in the foyer. You could have a swimming pool because we talk about swimming. After all, the church is still the church, Daryl, after the assembly's over, and they might go somewhere and swim together in modest clothing. Therefore, according to you, the church could arrange for a swimming party. And if they can do that, if it's the church work to have a social meal, Daryl, then they can build a building, if that's their work, to provide for that meal. If that's the work of the church, they can pay for a building to provide for, and so they could provide for this pool. That church golf course, they could do that. The church is still the church when the assembly's over, and sometimes individual members of the church play golf, according to his reason. A horse racing track, as long as you don't have gambling. We talked about the movie theater. All of these things would be scriptural according to Daryl's reasoning. Now, that would be the same thing. If it's the same thing to talk in the foyer about a horse race, and that means you can, socialize in the foyer, and that means you can have a church social meal. Then if you talk about horse racing, you can have a church horse race. There's not one whit of difference between those things. You, I've got question marks here. You can fill in the blanks. You can think of 100 more of these things. Human reasoning, Daryl, as you've been bringing up, just won't do for authorization. We need a New Testament passage to authorize it. Jude verse 12, he's admitted talking about individuals. His other passage, 1 Corinthians 11, is a disapproved example. What they were doing, the common meal there, whether it's in the assembly or not, Paul said it's wrong. So how can you use that as an approved example? Where is the verse that authorizes what you brethren do? That's all we're asking. If you can't find the verse, we ask you to cease the practice.
Rick. I appreciate so much the fine demeanor of Brother Donahue as we have talked about this issue extensively. Appreciate the attendance of each one. Appreciate the truth of God's Word and the privilege which has been mine to affirm it in this discussion. To maintain a consistent pattern of affirmation, the truth didn't yield, the truth did not give in, the truth prevailed. Let's have his number 8, please. His chart number 8. Can the congregation do these individual activities? We have bodily exercise, church gyms. Go into business, church business, marital duties, church honeymoon suites. Eat common meals, church social meals. And then he quotes from our beloved brother James Boyd. My friends, the functions on this chart are not actions which are being done on a unique basis of being a Christian. The non-believers exercise, they go into business, they have marital duties, they eat common meals. This chart, let me say it once again, the functions on this chart are not actions which are done on the unique basis of being a Christian. Therefore, the church cannot do it. You see, the church cannot do it. And then we have his number 34, if we can look at it again. I responded to this chart many times, and throughout the discussion, the principle that's involved here, the reason that it has been alleged that I failed to respond to this is because I did not give you the answer for which Brother Donahue sought. I did not give you the particular answer he thought to come out with as this material was being employed. I don't agree with this point. He asked me, as we're discussing, you cannot, yes or no. Friends, I wasn't trying to be rude. But you know what? He has me at a disadvantage there. I don't have a microphone. I cannot communicate with everybody. That's not how a debate is conducted. That's why I didn't answer him. But I've answered this as we've gone through this material time and time again. We have incidentals. Yes, we did. We both agree that incidentals do not authorize. The incidental of the parking lot playing games doesn't authorize a church ball team. We agree on this. This is not an area of division. Teens discuss a popular movie. My daughter can discuss very good popular movies with you that are good, wholesome entertainment, but this isn't a church activity. You see, men talking of basketball in the foyer, that doesn't authorize it. I agree with every principle here. And I agree that just because we have a water fountain, that doesn't authorize a church social meal. I'm afraid that we have missed the point entirely. You see, here is the situation. We dismiss the assembly. We eat together on the grounds, a common meal, socializing, edifying one another in love. And that is an aspect of edification, friends. We've already shown the fellowship aspect of it in this discussion. It's good for us, and we still didn't hear why it was good for people to eat together. You know, it is a token of fellowship, even as one reads in the Bible. It's a token of fellowship. When the church withdraws fellowship from a brother, the church has no authority to eat a meal with that brother until he repents and comes back to the truth. But here, you see, we have a problem. Because my friend, Brother Donahue, has continually denied the fact that we can have a social meal while we're on church-owned grounds. But here's the problem. You see, they do the same thing without the hamburger in some occasions, but on other occasions, they can have the hamburger. That's all right. If you've been eating around, working hard around the building, it doesn't matter if every member of the church is there. You've been working really hard. You can eat, that's fine, but you better not socialize. Do we have to separate then and maybe everybody go off by himself where we cannot talk, we cannot communicate, we cannot socialize? You see the ridiculous position in which this doctrine lives and exists. You know, Pat, you agreed with me in this debate that what we do is our practice. The practice which I have affirmed tonight is individuals eating together. Never have I seen a situation wherein the eldership required attendance, but we come together, those who would like to, and we eat together. You agreed that's what we are doing. What's the difference then if we've been working and struck up a hunger, or we want to sit down and eat together? You know, we have the water fountain. Why is it in a building? Because people are going to get thirsty. We'll satisfy the thirst aspect, but 1 Corinthians 11, if we're going to use that, it says, "Do ye not have houses in which to eat and to drink?" And who's paying for that, by the way? The church is paying for the water fountain. You see the kind of corner into which these arguments work them? 1 Corinthians 14 was discussed in his speech, talking about the separative elements in our worship. Travis, if you could get, I'm thinking of my number 19 together. We have demonstrated, and the reason we have to keep using this is to help Pat and his brethren see what was happening. We have to continually remind them that the church didn't exist in a vacuum. They didn't live in a corner, and everything they did was so secretive that nobody knew what was happening. And you know, we're hearing others tell us what was happening. They knew what was happening, but we don't have our foundational basis on the historical evidence. We've used the Bible for the doctrine. And we've got a problem then, he says, because you know what? You have this connected with the Lord's Supper. Friends, I'm going to affirm it again. It doesn't matter if there is a 2-second interval between the agape feast and the Lord's Supper. They are still not one and the same. It is still not the corporate worship assembly. We have never affirmed such a thing. That is not being affirmed. And as I demonstrate from the quotes above, the prayer was offered for the emblems after being filled. You see, they ate the meal. They had their agape feast. Then they offered prayer for the emblems. Now, he brought up 1 Corinthians 14 about women keeping silent in the assembly. And said, well, you can't go and then break the assembly for a second or two so the women can bring their questions out. And then we'll start up again so we get around violating this passage. However, 2 seconds after the assembly is over, she may speak. And all the brethren are still together in the same location. They're still the local church. You didn't prove anything with this point. Nothing has been proven. You see, we're still back at the same place. I agree with 1 Corinthians 14. You know, the women are not allowed to teach nor usurp authority over the males when we are together in the corporate worship assembly. That's why a woman can't be a preacher, because the preacher teaches and preaches with all authority. And in those situations, it would be a violation of the will of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. I partly believe it. For there must be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. What is the assembly under question? The assembly in which the Lord's Supper is being observed, and all of the teaching surrounding the corporate worship of the church. And that's the problem here. That is the disapproved example. When they violate worshiping God in spirit and truth, when they violate what the Bible says about this Lord's Supper, that is error, and Paul's demonstrating that that is unacceptable, that is unscriptural. You're going to have to stop that. We're not using a disapproved example of eating in the same place where we've worshiped. That's not the point that's being made. And I think that is so crystal clear and so easy to understand. Even our children can understand that Paul's dealing with a violation of worship. And our meeting together to eat is not worship. It is not the assembly under question here. So he says, what, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. He goes on and talks about the pattern for this act of worship. He goes on and shows what the Lord had revealed to him about the emblems, verse 24. His body, which is represented by the bread. His blood, which is represented by the cup, verse 25. For as oft as ye drink this bread and eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Friends, we are not eating a meal together showing the Lord's death in our common eating, but we are in the act of worship, being addressed in 1 Corinthians 11. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, and my friends, eating this bread and drinking this cup is after the prayer, after they had already engaged in their agape meal together. And I don't care if it was 1 second. It is separate from that act of worship, but when they brought it in, in this instant, Paul said, you better get it back out. You do whatever it takes, but you don't violate this, because whosoever shall eat this bread, the emblem, and drink this cup, the fruit of the vine, unworthily, an adverb of manner, denoting the manner in which the congregation was observing this act of worship. They violated that principle. That is what's being disapproved here in the Scripture. And friends, when they violated, they were guilty of the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet, what we have demonstrated is the early church came together, they enjoyed the agape feast. Paul didn't say the agape feast was wrong. He didn't say you're eating together in the same place where you're worshiping's wrong. And if that were the case, we've got a problem with Peter, we've got a problem with Jude, we've got a problem not being addressed in the Bible. And my friends, our God did not create a book and treat us like ants. You know, when a child takes an ant and he knocks him off his path here and here and here and here and finally squishes that ant. You see, God doesn't work with us that way. He's not going to take a matter of obligation and cloud it up so we can't understand it. It's so easy to look at what the practice of the church was, even in the information offered from Galatians. They're eating together. We affirm this. They're doing this. You see, his very arguments worked against him in that regard as well. The evidence from the New Testament is overwhelming. We're not using history to support what the authority is. We've used the Bible for the authority. We've backed it up, shored it up, because Pat Cut cannot understand Jude's 12th verse. So we've tried our very best to get this across. There is a distinction made clearly in 1 Corinthians 11. The act of worship has to be observed in a worthy manner. You know, that's why some will avoid that supper when it's passed. They say, I don't feel worthy. Friends, the very fact that we're not worthy is why the Lord died for us. The adverb of manner is dealing with the way in which this act of worship is being engaged. Here's number three, if we may look at that again. We've exhausted this, I believe, but we haven't worn it out. We come back and come back to this again. Why? You know, Pat went over this, and we've shown completely that we don't follow this reasoning that we're worshiping together as we eat this meal. We're not in this kind of assembly. But again, Pat's using the chart. He's bringing up this information. I didn't use the passage to bring in a disapproved example. I showed you underlying that passage what was happening, and that was approved. We have other examples that it is approved. But he says this passage is saying that eating done to satisfy hunger, verse 21, should be done at a time other than the church assembly. Well, friends, we've agreed on that point throughout the debates. And Pat made that, so he went on and used his number one. used his number one. Can we get his number one then? Seems to me like Pat's been going over and over the same things. Over and over the same material. And he's been in the negative the whole time that he has taken the affirmative in this discussion. He's gone over it again and again. Three categories, yes. We have authority for the preaching of the gospel. We can use the funds in that regard. And you know, by the way, that's what we're doing in a funeral. We've answered that, and we didn't get a lot of attention addressed to that in our discussion, but we've answered it. Helping needy saints, we've got to talk about this. Pat, in his final speech, said, you know what, I'm going to try to answer all his questions, and he avoided that like the plague. Friends, like the plague that wiped out so many good folk, he avoided that like smallpox coming into the Navajo Nation. He didn't want to touch it. Friends, I said the needy saint, didn't I? I said the needy. When we're helping the needy. Well, he went on to say, get off in this discussion about qualifying it. Is she a widow indeed? And he knew exactly what my point was. And he has a problem, I believe, with the ugliness of his teaching. He talked earlier about one of his charts and going to these extremes, the massage element of it to show the extreme nature. What I'm trying to do is show you the ugliness of this teaching. He didn't touch the children issue, did he? Or did he say they could come in and be part of this? See, we've got a problem there. Because as you're going to see this afternoon, the non-institutional Church of Christ believes it's unscriptural to take one dime out of the church treasury to support, to help a non-saint in little children. And I specifically said 2 years of age, 3 years of age, 4 years of age. In that category, we have non-saints. They are not saints. Why didn't he touch that? Friends, that's the ugliness of this teaching. It is a teaching that tells us the world can be better than the church. The world can have a higher ethic, a higher moral standard than the church. It's a teaching that tells us the heathen, the ungodly, can have a higher ethical standard than the church. It's a teaching, my friends, that tells us the denominational world can have a higher ethical standard than the church. It is indeed an ugly doctrine. Here's 31. We had Pat saying, my opponent contends that church-sponsored social meal is authorized because it provides a means for Christians to fellowship, to socialize. So I'm saying that the social meal is authorized because it provides a means for Christians to fellowship. Is that what I said in this debate? Or did I not begin in my affirmative and show you Bible passages? Have I not throughout this debate shown you where the church did this? That's the authority. That is the authority. He says, first of all, fellowship and socializing are two completely different things. Yes and no. But you know what? We have things in common and we socialize about those things. And that would be one aspect of fellowship. So, church-sponsored Super Bowl parties. We don't agree with that. We don't agree with church-sponsored recitals, Shakespeare plays. None of this. Travis, do you have my last chart in that stack? That's not it. Well, that's some reason I have lost a few of my charts. But socializing together is not the authority. Friends, we've laid out from the Bible in this discussion. We showed from biblical principles, biblical passages, the church was eating in the place it worshipped. That wasn't the problem. The problem was the violation of the act of worship brought together according to 1 Corinthians 11:17 and following to observe the supper. And we don't do that. As far as this other area then about eating on the church grounds or in a church building, friends, they do it. They say it's okay. We agree. That's all right. With all of those aspects, we agree.